Support for this podcast comes from the UTSA Institute of Texan Cultures. For more than 50 years, the museum has told stories of Texas history and heritage from diverse cultures that define the state's unique character. Details at texancultures.com.
This is The Source on Texas Public Radio 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. There's a growing number of local renters who every month on time, they write that check, send it off to the landlord. They don't cause any problems. They obey the terms of their lease. Everything looks good until one day, boom, out of the blue, they get a notice to vacate. They are being evicted to no fault of their own. With roughly 16,000 evictions filed throughout Bexar County last year, it has become clear that something needs to be done to help protect renters who get evicted, even though they never did anything wrong. What are renters' rights, and what good are they without some legal muscle behind them? And now the city is going to help in that area with a renter's right to counsel pilot program. So we're going to be talking about that this half hour. And you can join our conversation. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. And you can email your questions and comments to thesource at tpr.org. Tweet at us at tprsource. I really want to hear from somebody. If you're a renter, has this happened to you? Are you afraid it's going to happen to you? And if you're a landlord, what have been your experiences going through this process as well. We're joined by Roberto Trevino. He's the District 1 San Antonio City Council representative. Councilman Trevino, welcome back to The Source.
I'm glad to be here.
Robert Doggett is here, Executive Director of the Texas Rio Grande Legal Aid. Robert Doggett, it's good to have you here.
Thank you.
So, Roberto Trevino, you're at the tip of the spear here, calling for some protections of renters' rights. Why is that?
Well, as you said, we're seeing a lot of issues here. We had last year 16,000 eviction filings. Out of that, only 1% kept people in their homes. And that's troubling. I mean, that's a lot of eviction filings, up from the year before of only 5,000 eviction filings. And that's, something's happening here. And we need to understand that half of the issue, or half of housing, is renters. And so if we're not addressing what's happening to renters and renters' rights, then we're really not looking at this issue before us. And so we actually asked for a right to counsel pilot. We asked for $100,000 so that we can demonstrate the benefits of this program. We traveled up to New York City to talk to some of the people that implemented it up there. They just received their study, and with their right to counsel program, they have effectively kept 84% of the folks who use the program in their homes. That's a huge difference from the 1% that we see here. And ultimately, that's what we want. We want to keep people in their homes. They made the biggest point of all, which is this is a life-changing event for anybody. If you get evicted, this is life-altering, and it really impacts you in a big way. And we can't think of any other, when we think of something else that might be a life-altering event, you can think of the Gideon versus Wainwright, which is basically established somebody's right to an attorney should they commit a crime. This is kind of the same premise, is that you're involved in a life-altering situation where an attorney or a counselor can help you navigate this system and this traumatic event, and hopefully help you. And we think that this program is gonna help a lot of renters. It's gonna address a lot of issues moving forward, and we hope to get it off the ground by January, February, and come back in May to ask for more funding through our mid-year review.
So it sounds like you're saying that having some counsel that can help renters who are evicted, this is a way to level the playing field so that renters who get that notice to vacate can fight back if their renters' rights have been violated.
Well, they need to know what their rights are. And ultimately, I think we can all respect that. We know that there's just many examples of folks who don't know what their rights are. And, having an attorney represent you doesn't change the merits of the case. And certainly, there are some folks that have done things that deserve an eviction. But, when you see the results in New York City, when 84% of their renters get to stay in their homes, again, we want to make sure we keep people in their homes.
And Robert Doggett, Executive Director of the Texas Rio Grande Legal Aid, what are the renters' rights? What rights do you have? I thought it's like, I am the landlord. I own the property. If I say you go, you go.
Well, they have quite a number of rights. There's no question about it. Texas is landlord-friendly, has been for a very long time, and that, as you well know. And so New York and Texas have a lot of things in common, but renters' rights are not one of them. But I do want to applaud the council member in the city and frankly, the show to talk about these issues. Renters make up such a substantial part of our communities. It's not just homeowners. There's a lot of renters out there, often half of a population. And yet this is a subject that is just not paid much of attention to. And so I think this is a great start, and what a good way to start the conversation is, what are their rights? Well, in terms of eviction, as you've alluded to, it's a very quick process. If a landlord feels that a tenant has done something enough to want them to move from the property, Texas has one of the fastest eviction processes anywhere in the country. It starts with a notice to vacate. Some people feel like they have to move or the police were going to be called. So it's one thing to understand that when you get a notice to vacate, that's the start of a legal process that a landlord has to follow under the law. And that's only in a private landlord-tenant relationship. If they receive a subsidy or a tax credit property or in public housing, there's additional things that the landlord has to do before they can start the notice to vacate. But once you do receive one, then the requisite time period has to elapse, either 24 hours or 3 days before an eviction suit can be filed. And then after that, a hearing is often held within 2 to 3 weeks, depending on how fast the docket moves, which occurs in the Justice of the Peace. Those cases have to be filed in the precinct of the Justice of the Peace where that property is located.
So if I'm a landlord and I have this house that I'm renting to this nice family and they're paying their rent and everything looks nice, and I'm realizing all around me, all around the neighborhood, rents are going up. I'm a sucker because these people, I could get twice as much as I'm getting from these families now. So why don't I just, you know, tell them I'm doubling the rent because that's what the market will bear? You know, what's wrong with that?
Well, of course, and that's the problem, is that if the lease is for a year or more, you could have someone in a greedy situation, and a landlord may want to look for something to trip up the landlord or tenant on and try to evict them, terminate the lease, or at least negotiate a new lease. And so sometimes that happens, and there's no question about it. But to bring back the point I believe that the council member just brought out initially, which is a really good one, is sometimes just knowing what your rights are is extremely important. And knowing what the landlord's rights are, to not have a misconception about what New York is and what Texas is
But in any lease, so Roberto Trevino, I'd like to hear from you on this, Councilman Trevino, any lease basically is going to have a clause in there that the landlord, the owner can say, I can give you 60 days, 90 days notice and you got to vacate, right? Pretty much.
Yes, that's correct.
So but what's the deal? I mean, that's in the lease, right?
Well, it is. However, you know, if we go back to the numbers, 16,000 filings, ultimately what we know, the data shows that if we can actually keep people in these homes, it benefits everybody. You know, the idea is to help provide better communications between both parties. The fact is there's many reasons, and some of them are trivial at best, at why people get evicted. You know, we hear stories about people getting evicted for a $50 utility bill. You know, those kinds of things can be resolved quickly and keep people in their homes, and it benefits landlords too, because the bottom line is, you know, they want to be renting their properties. Tenants want to stay in those properties. We want to keep them in their homes. So this is about, you know, keeping people in their homes.
The number to call in is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. We got Robert and Bill on the board. We'll get you on the air when we come back from the break. If you got a question or a comment about the right to counsel for renters or about renters' rights or what's happened to you, if there was a landlord that gave you a notice to vacate suddenly out of the blue, tell us about it. We'd love to hear it, this story. The number is 210-614-8980. The source continues right after this. Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. So put yourself in the shoes of a family that suddenly got that notice to vacate from the house that they had been renting. They have been doing everything right, and suddenly they're told that they got this notice. Generally, it demands that you have to leave the property within 3 days. And this is a notice to vacate. And what does that do to a family? And suddenly, if you don't have the first month and last month for another place to live, you don't know where you're going to go, and with the child, your kid's got to go to a different school. Everything, your whole world has been turned upside down and inside out because the landlord wants to raise the rent more than you can pay. And you had a lease. What's going on here? Who's going to help you? Who's going to protect your rights as a renter? That's what we're talking about this afternoon. The number is 210-614-8980. Let's go to Robert on the phones. And you reach the mouse. And Robert, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hey, hi, welcome. Thanks for taking my call. My question is this. This program, does it pay the rent for people that haven't paid the rent? And isn't it fair that if somebody doesn't pay the rent, that the owner of the property has a right also to receive its money?
Okay, Robert, thank you for that great call. I appreciate it. Let's go to Roberto Trevino, District 1 City Council member.
So we established what's called the risk mitigation program, and that risk mitigation program the City of San Antonio has does help people with their rent. It does help them with moving, and this is where we ask for some of the money to be peeled off to start this pilot so that we can figure out, you know, how much we're going to need the program here in San Antonio, how much we're going to be needing to really run this more robustly annually. So the answer is yes, you know, we do some of that. That's the reason we increased the risk mitigation funds to $1 million annually.
Right, but this is not about people who have not paid their rent. This, because there is some financial assistance available in San Antonio and Bexar County, like the Alamo Area Resource Center and the Bexar County Community Resources and the Bexar County Housing Authority. Lots of places you can go turn to if you need some help with your rent. But if you have been paying your rent and you haven't fallen behind and you're in good standing on your lease, You still get that notice to vacate? That happens, right?
That does happen. And I think that this, I mean, to really kind of get and put a point on this is that the issue is very diverse. There are people that may fall behind on their rent, but the idea is, how do we help people even in those situations? I mentioned that there's examples even with falling behind on a utility bill payment. You know, we don't want somebody kicked out of their homes for $58 bill or a fee. Right. It's knowing your rights and it's knowing how to provide better communication. Ultimately, what we're doing is it's demonstrated that we're streamlining the communications so that we can help people stay in their homes.
Okay, let's go to Samantha on the phones. Samantha, hi. Welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi, thank you so much for taking my call. So just a quick comment. I'm actually a property manager for an apartment community, so this discussion is very relevant to me.
Okay.
Just kind of curious to know if there's any, you know, I know we're talking a lot about tenants' protections, but is there anything that is currently pending or that's up for discussion as far as landlord protections?
Okay, and thanks for that, Samantha. And so let me ask, you know, Robert Doggett about that, you know, because what protections do we have for landlords?
Well, keep in mind that the landlords have a very powerful a lobbying group, the Texas Apartment Association, for example, for one, and there's also individual property associations that I'm positive that Samantha probably knows a lot about, would be my guess. But there are a number of them, and they all lobby very well at the Texas legislature, and they provide a variety of campaign finances to them. And so consequently, a lot of the laws are drafted in such a way to protect landlords. So there's very little that's done to protect tenants other than when individual legislators have individual problems for their friends or family and realize there's something awry. But in general, I'll tell you that landlords are very well protected, and they have a number of lawyers here in the city that do a very fine job in court. And frankly, they don't even need lawyers to go to court. court. The laws on the books allow property managers, of course, to go to JP court and represent landlords in order to file and prosecute an eviction. So I don't see landlords really having any problem with evictions. And in fact, as the council member pointed out, less than 1% of the cases that are filed result in a tenant victorious in court. So I don't see there being any issue with landlords having a problem getting their voice heard.
So let's go through this process. It's really interesting. So you get the notice to vacate, and it says you have to leave within 3 days. Do you really have to leave within 3 days?
Well, it's not just 3 days. It can be shorter if it's in the lease, and more than likely if it's a form lease, it can be a 24-hour notice. 3 days is the max. I would say typically most leases allow for a 24-hour notice to vacate in a private landlord-tenant relationship. But if you don't leave within that period, then that's when the landlord has the opportunity to file an eviction case or a forcible detainer, some people still call them, in the Justice of the Peace Court. The point, though, to realize is the police, if they're called, they won't be in. I've not ever heard of it, but I guess it's possible that somebody would call the police. The police will not do anything because it's a civil matter, and it's a process that everyone is familiar with. You should go down, and if you're a landlord, to file your case in Justice of the Peace Court. But the notice to vacate is the start to the process, and it happens every day in thousands of cases, undoubtedly daily in Bexar County alone. If there's 16,000 eviction cases filed every year, you can imagine the number of notices to vacate that are issued every year to start this process that often results in a family very, very scared that they're going to lose their place or police will be called. They might pawn something. They might sell a car. Who knows what they might do to try to get caught up on the rent. And rent is a primary factor. I would say it's the vast majority of the cases that are filed in Bexar County and probably throughout Texas are related to nonpayment of rent. And that's no surprise. I mean, if you look at the income versus the rent ratios here in Bexar County, I believe the study came out a couple of weeks ago that rents have gone up by 9%. Meanwhile, wages have remained stagnant. So there's no question we're going to have an issue with people being able to afford rent.
So what happens when a landlord obtains a forcible entry and detainer?
Okay, a forcible entry and detainer or FED or FD, forcible detainer, are all fancy ways of saying an eviction case. That's it. And there's 16,000 of them filed every year in Bexar County alone.
And so obviously, the landlords, they have a lot of legal muscle, they have expertise, the law's on their side, and if you've never been through this process, Roberto Trevino, you know, a lawyer that the city can help provide can at least point you in the right direction, tell you what your rights are, explain some of this is very technical stuff.
It really is. And I just want to point something else out that Robert just mentioned, which is the notices to vacate. You know, that's not being talked about right now. And in fact, I've asked the Saha to put a moratorium on their notices to vacate. They agreed to put a moratorium on their evictions at Alazan. But they did not do that for the notices to vacate. And I think that they need to do a moratorium on that as well, because this is part of that same process. And I think that is an important part to demonstrate that this is complex. Most people, they'll see a notice to vacate and they'll just leave.
All right. Let's go to Linda on the phones. Linda, hi. Thank you so much for calling in. You're on the air.
Hello, good afternoon, sir. My name is Linda, and I was wondering specifically in terms of a late fee that I can assess my tenant who is owing me some non-payment of rent from a few months ago, back from the month of July, actually. I haven't gotten any of my rent for that month, and even though I've been receiving payments for rent after that month, I still am due that amount.
All right, so you have a tenant that didn't pay for July, and you want to know what you can do about that or apply some sort of late fees on that. So we're not running a clinic here for landlords here, but so Robert Doggett, though, there are things you can do. If you're the landlord, you have a renter, they don't pay the rent, and that's when you What do you do?
Well, I mean, obviously, it's a situation landlords face every day. They decide whether or not, if someone's running behind, what they should do about it. Most of the time, landlords do try to work with tenants. Most of the time, they do. And they attempt to work out some sort of payment plan. Sometimes, though, they do charge a hefty late fee. And I'll tell you, a lot of landlords say they like their rent on time. Some of them really just want it a little bit late so they can charge the rent and the late fee.
Well, I don't know about that. Let me go to Brandy on the phones here. Brandy, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Yes, sir. My question is, my husband got injured almost off his foot to a water leak that was in our bathroom we reported when we moved in. We had several water leaks, which caused our water bill to go up over $1,200 twice, and we wound up getting behind on our rent. My question is, they never compensated us for the water bill, but also what resources do you have that can help us now that we're evicted and in a hotel?
Wow, Brandy, thank you for calling in. Roberto Trevino, District 1 council member, there's some social services that can help in those areas?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's, I think, at the heart of this is, connecting a lot of the dots. You know, 2 years ago, we did a data sharing CCR to connect information and data to other intergovernmental agencies like SAWS and CPS and so forth. And there's a lot of resources out there that can connect folks. So by getting people, getting renters to know their rights and connecting them back to the city in this program, we can make sure that they are part of some of these programs that might resolve some of their needs.
I would definitely recommend getting in contact with SAM Ministries. They will be very helpful to you, especially if you're a family that's been displaced and you're living in a motel-hotel situation now.
And I would add, she can apply for the risk mitigation funds that I was talking about earlier.
Okay, I'm going to try and get another caller in. Maria. Maria, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi, yes, hello. I just wanted to contribute a part of the very necessary conversation that this is about renters' rights. And I actually lived in Southtown that's being gentrified right now. And my landlord wanted us out so bad so that they could remodel the home and sell it for, quadruple the rent monthly to a newer tenant. We paid all of our rent on time, but they made our living situation so unbearable as to force us out. They started reconstruction on the house while we were still living in it. They took away our laundry facility. They took away our parking, all because they had in their minds that they wanted us out to replace us with higher paying tenants. And it affected me and my son so deeply. I felt like my civil rights as a human being were completely, just not even being respected. As a mother and as a paying tenant, it was so disrespectful.
Brandy, I got to let you go because we're short on time. Boy, I hear your story, and I'm so glad you called in because you are exactly what we are talking about. Gentrification hits renters twice as hard as anyone else in these neighborhoods. And Roberto Trevino, I know that you have you're working on setting up a renters commission. Where are we on that? And that would be something that Brandy could appeal to.
That's correct. Actually, 5.5 months ago, we filed a city council consideration request. We're waiting on the mayor to put it on the governance agenda. It's been about 5.5 months. We asked that it get put on the agenda so we can begin that process. We believe that there should be a renters commission, that city council members can have an appointed person on this commission to really fully address this issue. Now, I'd make the point, we have made affordable housing and homelessness a priority of this city, and I can think of no bigger strategy than getting this renters commission up and going. It helps prevent homeless situations, and again, it can produce programs like this right to counsel.
Robert Trevino with Texas Rio Grande Legal Aid. We heard Brandy's story. Would she have any sort of recourse?
Well, I think so. In fact, I've personally brought a case on behalf of a group of tenants that had that exact scenario happen. There was a gentrification of an apartment complex, and they did exactly that. They took away the laundry facilities and did some other things. And we ultimately filed suit for it's a breach of contract. It's a breach of the lease. And there's a duty of quiet enjoyment of the premises that a landlord covenants on every single property that they rent. And so we filed this case, and we were successful. And the statute of limitations is probably not up yet for this particular caller.
All right. So, Brandy, maybe you want to get in touch with the Texas Rio Grande Legal Aid. That's with Robert Doggett is with us. He's the executive director. Roberto Trevino, District 1, San Antonio City Council member, he's going to stick with us for another hour because we're going to be talking about the Alamo next half hour with the Alamo redesign. That's coming up when we come back from the break. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. Stay tuned.